Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 105 in our own hymn book, his first hymn in order of service. And even long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Saviour died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. We'll keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look to the Lord this evening, praying for the Lord's help and blessing in our gospel meeting. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank Thee that in this, the evening of Thy day, we're found here in the house of the Lord to praise Thee and to worship Thee. And Father, we come to Thee tonight and through the precious name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified upon the cross of Calvary for us, the one who suffered, who bled and died, who poured out his life unto death, even the death of the cross. And Father, we thank Thee that upon that cross He bore upon Himself the wrath, the judgment of God that we deserve for our sins. We thank Thee, O God, that on that cross He became our substitute, We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that He paid the price of our redemption in full. And Father, we thank Thee tonight that there's a full and free and eternal forgiveness for all of our sins, and through Christ and through His finished work upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, we thank that Christ is alive forevermore. We praise Thee and we thank Thee, O God, that He is our great High Priest in the glory. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the great hope of the gospel, that because He lives, we shall live also. We thank Thee tonight for life abundant, life eternal, that is found in faith in Christ and in Christ alone for salvation. And O God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for all Thy mercies and all Thy blessings to us throughout today already. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us in Thy house this morning. We thank Thee for blessing us throughout this Thine own day. But Lord, we dare not rest upon past blessings. We need Thee tonight more than ever. And Lord, Thou hast said in Thy word that without Me ye can do nothing. And Father, we just pray from this opening hymn to the last amen, that Thou, Lord, would be pleased to favor us, O God, tonight, with Thy blessing, with Thy grace, in a mighty and in a powerful way. Father, we thank Thee for all who have been able to gather with us tonight in Thy house. We thank Thee for every family and household, O God, that is represented. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless and meet the need of every heart and of every life. Bless and encourage and strengthen Thy people. Lead Thy people on with Thyself. And Lord, for any that might be cold at heart tonight, give that restoring grace that comes alone, O God, from God. And Father, for any who might be with us tonight, still strangers to grace and to God, still unsaved in that broad and crowded road to a lost eternity, Lord, speak to them. And we pray, Lord, that even this very night, that they would take that step of faith and put their trust in Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Father, we pray that Thou would bless every part of our meeting tonight, and bless the reading of Thy word. As Lord, bless the preaching of Thy word, and in the singing, Lord, of Thy praises, O God. We pray that Christ would be honored and glorified, we ask. Do remember any that cannot be with us tonight, Lord, because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou would richly bless them and touch them, and those that are ill in hospital this time, be near them and raise them up, O God, we pray. For others that mourn and grieve have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that Thou wilt comfort their hearts and that they will know the help and the grace of Almighty God. Remember all those listening in online as well, whoever they are, wherever they might be, Lord, just bless Thy word to their hearts tonight. Meet them at the very point of their need, we pray. And Lord, we pray that Thou would bless those that know Thee as Savior. And any listening in online unsaved, speak to them. And Lord, be pleased by Thy grace and power to make them wise, O God, unto salvation. We pray for all our sister congregations tonight. We pray for every minister, every student, every layman alike who will preach Thy word. May the blessing of the Lord be upon them and be their portion. And Lord, wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed across the length and breadth of our land, we pray that Thou would bless every faithful servant of God, and that Thou would visit this province, visit these islands, O God, in mercy and in grace and in revival power. Again, Lord, we thank, O God, of our missionaries. Bless them and encourage them at home and abroad. And again, Lord, bless every effort and the evangelistic effort from this congregation, in the Sabbath school, the children's meetings, the youth fellowship. Bless our brother Colin as well in the outreach in the open air, Lord, around the province. And we pray that in all these ministries, Lord, that Thy word will not return unto Thee void, and that Thou wilt bless it and prosper it for the extension of Thy kingdom. Do us good now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with Yourself. Take away every distracting thought and care that is not of the Lord. And Lord, may we hear the voice of the Lord tonight to our hearts, saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. Give us grace not only to hear, but to do, we pray. And Father, we pray that in mercy that Thou wilt visit this meeting tonight, even in saving grace and in saving power. Have Thy way amongst us, we ask of Thee, for we do pray and do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in the Word of God for Scripture reading. to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 14, and we're reading from verse 1 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 14. So we're turning tonight to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, just in the middle of the Old Testament after the book of the Psalms, and we're reading from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, going down to the end of the verse number 14. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this evening. Proverbs chapter number 14 and the verse number 1. It says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. And the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 14 of Proverbs chapter 14. And our prayer is the Lord will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here this evening at our gospel meeting. We give you all a very special welcome. And indeed, if you're visiting with us tonight, we extend you that double welcome. Our prayers the Lord will bless you. If you're a believer in the Lord tonight, may you be encouraged in the things of God. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, our prayer is that even this Lord's Day evening, you'll come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Also, welcome to those viewing online as well. We pray the Lord will bless you and minister to your needs tonight according to God's riches and glory by his grace and by his power. Now, the announcements for the incoming week are as follows. Tuesday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting in Tresna. Be much in prayer for that. And then the prayer meeting and Bible study here in our own building on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. And we'll be long to take that meeting. We commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather for the season of prayer and Bible study. And then, as we mentioned this morning, Wednesday night, we're meeting here, weather permitting, at 7:30 p.m. And we're asking for a men's work party. If you're free and if the brethren on Wednesday night do come along, we just want to paint the walls along the church driveway there. So you bring your own paintbrush. The church will supply the paint. And hopefully it'll be a good night of fellowship and also favorable weather. So do remember that, please, brethren, on Wednesday night at 7:30. Friday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting here in the church, and then 8 p.m., the youth fellowship. Brother Colin will be ministering at that, and we commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, the 30th of May, Sunday school and Bible class at 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon. I belong to speak that meeting. And then the evening gospel service at 7 o'clock will be the form of a special testimony meeting. Our brother, Mr. Paul Elliott from our church in Armagh, will be along to sing and to testify of God's saving grace and keeping power in his life. His father was murdered back in the mid-80s, a member of the army, the security forces, and no doubt very, very difficult times for Paul and his mother and family. They were just young at the time, but the Lord brought them through, gave them grace and strength, And her brother's a devoted Christian. He's married with 3 children. He'll be coming along just to share and to tell of God's saving grace and keeping power in his life. So do make that known. Do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word for that testimony meeting next Lord's Day evening. This coming Friday night, that's the 28th of May at 8 o'clock, in our Bangor church, there's a special memorial service for the life and ministry of our brother, the Reverend Wesley Graham. And that is organized by our own Free Presbyterian Church Mission Board. And you can view that online. Just go onto the church website there, and you'll be able to watch online that service. The offering plates are at the rear. And as I mentioned this morning, just take your time as you leave and exit from the rear of the building, just pew by pew. So do remember that. Please. That's all really by way of necessary announcements, except also as a church we want to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister Mrs. Joan Moore. Just heard about that this afternoon. Lost a sister last week out in America, and we extend our sincere sympathy to Joan and the family, and assure you and all the family of our prayers and our sympathy at this time of loss and bereavement. Now we're going to turn again to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, please, to Proverbs chapter 14. And before we come to the preaching of God's word, maybe we could just stand to our feet in a word of prayer just to change our position and just ask for the Lord's help in the ministry of God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already tonight in this meeting. And Lord, we pray now as we come to the ministry of Thy word that Thou will give help, that Thou will give enablement in the preaching of Thy word, we ask. We pray that through the word of God tonight that souls will be made wise unto salvation, that saints will be blessed and edified and encouraged, and that Christ will be honored and glorified. Remember those that mourn tonight. Remember Joan and the family. Comfort their hearts in this time of loss and bereavement. Be near them and encourage them and bless them, we pray, by the mighty hand of God. Undertake now for us, we pray. Empty me of self and of sin. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God, and undertake now in the remaining part of this meeting. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Now, as we mentioned in the meeting this morning, I want to look tonight at the subject of the great deception. The great deception, really, in dealing with that subject, our text tonight. And we want to base our remarks around this text in connection with that subject is verse number 12 there of Proverbs chapter number 14, where it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, whenever Paul the apostle was writing his letter to the church at Philippi, he spoke to them and he said these words. He says, "To write the same thing to you is not grievous, but a safe." And by that statement, he was telling them about certain things that they needed to hear twice, that they needed to hear over and over again. My, he was repeating truths to them that they'd heard in the past and heard before. Well, in our text tonight, we have a wonderful example of this repetition in Scripture. Because the words here of Proverbs chapter 14 and the verse number 12 are also repeated. If you turn the page in your Bible over to Proverbs chapter 16, just over the page virtually from our Bible reading tonight, and you go down to verse number 25, you'll find the exact same words penned by Solomon. It says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You have those words in our text in Proverbs 14, verse 12. And then you find them again there in Proverbs chapter 16, the verse number 25. And you know, people, the double mention there of those verses and those words in such close proximity, just really 2 chapters apart, they are a witness to you and I, because they really highlight the importance of these words. Yes, every word in the Scripture is important, but whenever God emphasizes something so close together, here He is wanting us to stop and to think and to ponder and give great consideration to what is said in these 2 verses. Yes, these words here in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, and indeed those same words in Proverbs 16 verse 25, are really, if you like, a solemn warning from God. If you like, a red light warning from God to every sinner about the danger of deception in the matter of their soul's salvation. You look at how our text begins there. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And those words really speak of certain people and those, whoever they are, who would devise their own false way of salvation. If you like, those who would devise their own false way to heaven, those who are deceived in their hearts about the way of salvation. And then look at what our text says in the final part of the verse. It says there, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that really shows us that man's false way of salvation is a way that will bring him down to hell. It's a way that will bar him from God's heaven. It's a way that will rob him of God's salvation. Oh, see here the seriousness of the matter. See here the importance of the words that are found here in Proverbs 14, verse 12, where it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are their ways of death. And tonight, as we would look here at these words in Proverbs 14, verse 12, I want us just to consider the danger of deception regarding the vital matter of salvation. Yes, for a person to be deceived about the way of salvation is indeed the worst of all deceptions that a person can ever encounter in this world and in this scene of time. And my, there are four things I want you just to note in connection with this great deception regarding someone trusting in a false way of salvation. Notice, first of all, here with me, the characteristics of this great deception. Our verse says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. And those words really show us and tell us and speak to us of how man has devised many false ways of salvation. You go out into the world tonight and you speak to people about salvation, and you will soon encounter that man has many false ideas, man has many false notions about the way to God and the way to God's salvation. There's some, and they will tell you, yes, they can be saved by their good works. There's many like that in our country tonight. And you can trace that right back to the beginning of time, right back to Cain, the son of our first parents, Adam and Eve. You read in Genesis chapter 4 and the verse number 3 of Cain appearing before God in worship, and he depends upon his works, upon the works of his own hands. The Bible says, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. That which he had done himself, he brings it as an offering to appease God. He was depending upon his own works, the works of the flesh, the works of his own hands. Well, what does the Bible say about Cain and that offering? It says in Genesis 4 verse 5, it says, but unto Cain and to his offering, he, that is God, had not respect. In other words, his own works did not buy him the favor of God. His own works did not give him any merit with God. His own works could not save his soul. His own works could not make him right with God. My, there are multitudes like that in history. Multitudes like that right tonight in this very point in time. The Bible says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And no amount of works can make us good in the sight of God. No amount of works can give us favor in God's sight. The hymn writer was right when they said, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. They knew that their own works could do nothing to bring them salvation and to bring them into a right standing and a right relationship with God. And friends, tonight, that's a truth we all must realize and we all must understand. Dear friend at our meeting tonight, understand this. All your good works, no matter how good they are in your sight, no matter how good they are in the sight of man, all your good works cannot save you. My, to depend upon good works for salvation is to depend upon a false way. It is to be deceived in your heart about the way of God's salvation. You see, the Word of God says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And no amount of works, no matter how well they may be done, no matter how well intended they may be, can save your soul or my soul or make us right with God. And there are many like that in our society tonight, depending upon their works. Also then, there's many also in our society and in the world, and their thinking is that they can be saved by their riches, by their wealth, by their standing in the community. Yes, they pay well into the church. They give well to charity. My, in their will, they leave a large gift to their church, to their religion. And their feeling is that this somehow will give them merit with God and give them favor with God and give them a place in heaven. But again, such thinking is wrong. For the Bible says, riches profit not in the day of wrath. A person's wealth cannot save them from the wrath of God and from the wrath to come and make them right with God. No. Oh, friend, tonight, please understand this in this meeting tonight, that no amount of money, no amount of the giving of our money and our wealth can buy us salvation or can buy us favor with God. It cannot be done. The Bible speaks to you and I about salvation, and the Bible says that it is without money and indeed without price. Christ asked the question, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And by that question and by those words, Christ is telling, he's teaching you and I that all the money of this world, all the wealth of this world accumulated together cannot save one single soul before Almighty God. It cannot be done. You think tonight of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He perished in his sin as the son of perdition. His wealth did not save his soul. His wealth did not make him right with God. The Bible says he went to his own place. He went out into a lost eternity in hell. All that he had amassed in this world could do nothing for his soul and make him right with God and bring him into a right relationship with God. Cannot be done by the wealth of this world. That was something the hymn writer realized. For they said, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. They knew that all that the world had and all that the world offered and would give could not buy them the favor of God. And friends, this is a truth we must always remember and understand. Yes, it is good to give. It is good to give to those who are in need whenever that opportunity comes our way. It's good, yes, to give faithfully to God's work and the cause of Christ, but such giving cannot merit you and I salvation and make us right with God. It cannot be done. Over in Revelation chapter number 3, we read there about a certain church called Laodicea. And they had wealth, they had affluence, and they felt that somehow this give them favor with God, that everything was all right because of what they had and what they amassed materially speaking. And in Revelation chapter 3, in the verse number 17, God speaks to them and he says, but thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and of need of nothing. They felt they needed nothing else. And knowest not, God says, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What does that teach you and I? It shows us that all our wealth and all that the world can give and offer cannot buy us the favor of God, cannot bring you and I into a right relationship with God. And there are many people like that tonight in society. They think that somehow they can buy God's favor and buy their way into heaven and their way into God's salvation. Friend, I trust that's not so with you in the meeting tonight. You cannot be saved by your good works. You cannot be saved by your giving. Giving to others, giving to God's work, that cannot buy you the favor of God. And then there are others as well, and they think that they can be saved because of their own self-righteousness. Because of something naturally within them, they think that their own self-righteousness will favor them in the sight of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, he speaks to you and I about a certain person like that. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, when he talks there to you and I about the self-righteous Pharisee. And this man boasted in his own righteousness. He said, "To God I thank thee that I am not as other men." He thought there was something better in his own pedigree in comparison with the rest of the sons of men. And he readeth him in prayer before God in the temple. Christ there on that occasion tells you also about the publican. The man who realized he was a lost sinner before God, and Christ speaks to us about the two men, and he says this about the publican, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." And when he talks there about the other, he's talking there about that self-righteous Pharisee. His own self-righteousness could not save him or make him right in the sight of God and fit him for heaven. Friends, that is how it is with you and I, with every single one of us in this meeting. Our righteousness, our own self-righteousness, profit not in the sight of God. What does the Bible say about our righteousness? It says, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God." Our righteousness cannot measure up to the righteousness of God. The Bible speaks of your heart and my heart by nature, and it says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." That's our heart by nature before God. Our self-righteousness counts for nothing before Almighty God. Yes, this is God's verdict upon our hearts by nature. There is no good thing in you and I whatsoever to commend God's favor. No good thing in you and I whatsoever to commend God's salvation. My doing the best we can does not make us good enough for heaven. Doing the best we can does not fit us and bring us into God's salvation and a right relationship of God. Oh, friend, do not depend upon your works. Do not depend upon your wealth or your standing in the community. Do not depend upon your own self-righteousness. To depend upon these things is to depend upon the lie of the devil. If you're depending on these things for salvation and for a right relationship with God, they cannot profit your soul. They cannot save your soul. They cannot fit you for heaven and make you right with God. Yes, the characteristics of this great deception. Notice secondly tonight, notice the cause of this great deception. What is the cause of this great deception? Well, we can say really the root cause is sin. And sin is something that affects us all. It affects all mankind. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And you might say, "Well, what is sin?" It's the breaking of God's law, the breaking of God's commandments, something every single one of us are guilty of. And sin also means that in and of our own strength, you and I cannot live to the glory of God. We can do nothing absolutely whatsoever in and of ourselves that will glorify God or honor God. Such is the awful effects of sin in our life and our being. My sin is something, yes, we have inherited by nature from our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. Sin has spread from them down throughout the generations of mankind. The Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that all have sinned." Sin is us coming short of God's glory.
It is us breaking the law of God. It is something we all have inherited by nature from our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden when they disobeyed God and took the forbidden fruit. Oh, the effects of sin are far-reaching upon all mankind. Billy Sunday was a famous American evangelist of a bygone day. On one occasion he was having a gospel mission in a large American city, and he wrote prior to that mission to the mayor of that city, asking for the names of people who perhaps might need spiritual help or counsel during that time of gospel campaigning. And in answering the evangelist's request, the mayor of that city sent back to the evangelist the phone directory of the entire city. As far as the mayor of the city was concerned, the whole city needed help, and he was exactly right. Because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. My man, yes, is born into this world a sinner, sinner by nature and practice. And because of sin and Satan, yes, man is deceived into devising his own false way, his own false scheme of salvation. Listen to what the Bible says about man and his sin. It says, the god of this world, that's the devil, have blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There Paul tells us about man being blinded in his sin by Satan. And as a result of that blindness, yes, man seeks to devise his own way, his own scheme of salvation. Let me ask, is there one in the meeting tonight, one listening in tonight as well? And is it the case, yes, that you're following a false way of salvation? Depending perhaps on your works, depending on baptism, on confirmation, depending on your money, your giving, depending on your church, your religion, whatever. Please understand tonight that these false ways of salvation, they do not bring you near to God, but in actual fact, they take you away from God. And my, the reason for such folly is your own sinful heart and nature. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. How serious are the effects of sin and Satan in the life of the heart of man? Turn over with me, please, to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And look with me, please, at verse number 18. Here Paul is speaking to us about the unsaved, those who are without God's salvation. Look at how he describes them in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. He talks there about the understanding being darkened. He talks there about the blindness of the heart. He talks there about alienation, separation from God. An unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, can I say, yes, this is a picture of you before Almighty God because of your sin. Your understanding is darkened. Your heart has been blinded. And now you're alienated, separated from God because of your sin. The result is, yes, that you're following after a false way, a false scheme of salvation of your own devising, of your own making, or of man's making or man's devising. A false salvation that brings you no hope. No hope for time. No hope for eternity. Yes, it has been said that sin defiles man and defies God. And because of the defilement of sin, yes, there are many tonight across our world, across our land, many tonight here in Enniskillen. And they've embraced a false salvation with no hope, a hopeless salvation. No hope for time. No hope for eternity. Is that the case with one in our meeting tonight? Is it the case perhaps of one listening in online to this meeting? Yes, we see the characteristics of this deception, the cause of it, but what is the consequences of it? What are the results of this deception? Well, we're told there in our text what the end is. what the results are, what the consequence is. It says there in Proverbs 14 and the verse number 12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Notice this, but the end thereof. In other words, the outworking of this false way is, the end thereof, it says, are the ways of death. That's the end. That's the consequence of being deceived regarding salvation. That's the end for a person who rests upon a false way, a false scheme of salvation. The end thereof, we're told there, is the way of death. And you know that death there that is mentioned in our verse really means much, much more than just physical death when the breath leaves a person's body. Yes, it does mean that, but it means much more than that. It means separation from God. And this separation is because of unforgiven sin. You see, when a person is not saved, they are separated from God. No matter how religious they may appear outwardly in their life, no matter what others might say about them or think about them, whoever that person is, wherever they are, without God's salvation, depending on a false scheme of salvation, they are separated from God. That their sins before Almighty God stand between them and God. And because of sin unforgiven, they are separated, alienated, cut off from God. The Bible says there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet are not washed from their filthiness. Yes, this separation means alienation from God in this life, separation from God in this life. They do not know God, but it also means eternal punishment after this life, after this world, in hell, that place of eternal separation from Almighty God. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he speaks of those who are unsaved. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven?" Cut off, shut off from God, from God's kingdom, God's heaven. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22, in the verse number 27, it says there about heaven, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or maketh a lie." No sin in heaven. No unforgiven sinner will ever be in God's heaven. My, this is the outcome for those who leave this world, depending upon a false salvation, who are deceived by the god of this world, depending upon a false hope, a salvation of man, of man's devising, of man's own creed that can do them no good. Oh, friends, see tonight, yes, this is the outcome of depending upon a false salvation. Yes, you're separated from God in this life. The Bible says, yes, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And my, you're condemned to a lost eternity in hell. The Bible says, condemned already. Psalm 9, verse 12, it says, "Or the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." That's the end. That's the outcome of depending upon a false salvation, of being deceived by the world, by false religion, by the devil, by the god of this world, by being deceived about salvation. That's the end. A lost eternity in hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If you were to visit Her Majesty the Queen, if you were to have an audience with her, you would need a special invitation to meet with her for that occasion. And likewise, dear friend, if you are to be in God's heaven, you need your sins forgiven. You need your sins blotted out before Almighty God. And if you're depending upon a false salvation and your sins are not forgiven, then there can be no heaven for you. There can be no place for you in heaven. Rather, hell awaits you, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. Turn with me in your Bible over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, the second last chapter of the Bible. Go down to the very last verse of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and the verse number 15. Look at what it says, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. It says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life
was cast into the lake of fire. And that's the outcome for all. Whoever they are who come to stand before God on the day of judgment, depending upon a false hope, depending upon a false salvation, deceived by man, by the world, by false religion, by the devil himself, regarding the way of salvation. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And if you are found on the day of judgment before the Lord, depending upon a false salvation of man, of your own devising, whatever, that will be the awful outcome for you and for your soul for all of eternity. You will be cast into the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the fire of God's wrath is not quenched. Oh, see here the awful consequences of this deception regarding salvation. See how serious it is, how solemn it is, how important it is for a person to be right regarding the way of salvation. And that really leads us to one final point tonight in our message, and it is simply this: the cure for this great deception regarding salvation. What is the cure for this deception regarding salvation? Well, the cure really involves a heeding of God's word. The Bible, yes, is the place where you will find the true way of salvation. You'll find that true way of salvation in the word of God. You must heed the word of God, what the Bible says. It has rightly been said that before the word, everyone must give way. If you are to be saved, have God's salvation, you must give way to the word of God. You must heed the word of God. The psalmist says of God and his word, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. The word of God can lead you to the light of God's salvation. You must heed what God's word says on the matter of salvation if you're to be saved. This is how it was with Timothy. As a young child, he heard the word of God through the influence of his godly mother and godly grandmother. And what did Paul say to Timothy? He says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And thank God, as a young child, as a young boy, Timothy listened to the word of God. He heeded the message of the Scriptures to show him the way of salvation. And that's what you must do if you're to be saved. Listen not to the world tonight. Listen not to the false teachings of men and false religions. Listen to the word of God. Turn your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And look at what the Lord says there in verse 3, highlighting the importance of his word. He says, incline your ear and come unto me. He says, hear and your soul shall live. He says, listen to the word of God. Incline your ear. Come unto me, he says. Hear, listen to what I have to say. Hear and you'll find the way of life, the way of salvation. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, that's what you must do if you're to be saved. If you're to have God's salvation, you must listen to the word of God. You must hear what God has to say to you from his word. And what does God say to you about the way of salvation in his word? He says that as a repentant sinner, you must come by faith to Christ. Put your faith, put your trust in Christ alone. And in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Christ says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Only Christ can save you. None other, only Christ. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. And when Christ died upon the cross and shed his blood and poured out his life unto death, he made a way of salvation for sinners like you and like me in the meeting tonight. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Christ died for our sins upon the cross. He shed his blood as a ransom to God for our sins. He satisfied the just demands of God's holy law. And friend, if you confess your sins to God and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and to cleanse away your sins by his precious blood shed on the cross of Calvary, praise God, you'll be saved. Saved in a moment of time. Indeed, saved for an eternity of time. Because the promise of God's word is this. God says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God, yes, when God forgives you, he pardons all your sin. You'll have peace with God. You'll have grace to live the Christian life. You'll have the assurance of eternal life and a home in heaven. The hymn writer says, life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Is it your desire tonight to be saved? To know and have God's salvation in your heart? Then come by faith to Christ. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in none other. Think of the dying thief. He was wise unto salvation. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He trusted there and then in the Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul. The Lord said to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Lord saved him there and then at the cross of Calvary and fitted him for heaven. Friend, tonight lift up your heart and soul to God in prayer. Confess your sins to him. Thank Christ for coming and dying on the cross for you. That's the way of salvation. And call upon the Lord. Call in faith upon him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Don't depend upon your own way of salvation. Don't just say, I leave it to the last and all things will work out all right. No. The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Be sure you're saved. Be sure you're in Christ. Be sure you're redeemed by the blood of the cross. And that you're ready for heaven when you come to leave this world and leave this scene of time. We're going to close our meeting tonight. We'll be singing together the hymn number 227. 227, the final hymn in our order of service. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Friend, tonight not saved, come to the Lord and put your trust in him alone for salvation. 227, keeping our seats while we sing.
close our meeting with a word of prayer, but there's one tonight and there's a concern in your heart. I urge you to come to the Lord, trust Him for salvation. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'd be no hurry away. Only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to Jesus Christ alone, who is mighty and able and willing to save. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here in this meeting tonight. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the way of salvation, that way of the cross that leads home. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one tonight in this gathering who are on that way, who know Christ, for whom them it is well with their soul, they're ready for heaven. They can rejoice in the forgiveness of sins, the hope of the gospel. But for any, Lord, in the meeting tonight, and they have not this hope, maybe depending upon some false way of man, even tonight, Lord, may they come to Christ and rest upon Him alone for salvation. Part us with Thy fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us and grant the blessing of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with all who know and love Thee this night and always. Amen. Amen.